Hey, so glad you're here because I have another ignited entrepreneur on the show today to share what they did to ignite their business and their life. This is Jess Coulthard, your host. And as always, you're invited to listen in to another conversation about business, entrepreneurship, and why following your passion is the best way to ignite your life. Welcome to another episode of Ignited Entrepreneurs. Today, I have Kay Suthar of Uncensored Society. Kay, welcome to the show.
Oh my God, thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Yeah, me too. I mean, how can I not want to interview somebody that has a company called Uncensored Society?
I'll tell you something, it really does capture people's attention. I've had some people even say to me, "Oh my God, is that a porn site?" I'm like, "No, it's not, but if that's going to get you onto the website, then feel free,
Right, whatever works for you. I was actually checking out your website. You have some awesome swag.
Oh, thank you. Yes. To be fair, that's been, part of my team who've actually been helping me to design it, to create it, give me ideas. So it really is thanks to all of them as well. I'm not a graphic designer. I'm not techie at all. And so, as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, you can't do it on your own, and you have to have a team behind you. And I have a fantastic team behind me that have created this incredible swag.
Awesome. Okay, well, before we really start getting into this, I want you to first start out by sharing who you are and what you do.
So, like you said, my name is Kay Suthar, and I am the CEO and founder of Uncensored Society. And what that really means and how I help people is I'm a business strategist, and I help people with five main pillars of business, which is sales, marketing, finance, operations, and leadership. And of course, there's going to be elements of, mindset, because as you're growing your business, you're scaling, you got to make sure that, your mindset is also being maintained too. And so what I do is coach people on their business. However, I know there's so many different business coaches, business strategies, but what makes me different is my actual coaching style. And what I mean by that is I'm not going to be that coach that's going to, pat you on the shoulder and tell you life is going to be okay, because guess what? It's not. I'm going to be that coach that kicks you up your ass and tells you, "What the hell are you doing? Get your shit together." Okay. And we want to see results. My clients want to see results. To keep someone accountable and just be raw, real, and relentless in helping them achieve their dreams is what makes Uncensored Society what it is today, and the community. We're all like a family. We all have a goal, and everyone's got a fire up their ass and making sure that they actually reach their goal. And I'm that person that keeps them accountable. And I believe in tough love. It's not all, me screaming and shouting at them. No, that's not what I do, but it's helping people change their perspective, getting them out of their old habits that don't serve them, and creating new habits that will help them push forward and fulfill these dreams that they have. And that's what it means to be a business coach to me and getting those results for my clients.
Yeah, I think sometimes people need that, right? You need that like slap upside the head to just bust them out of some of those patterns that they just keep running and the excuses and all
Right,
bullshit that just keeps
exactly.
coming up, right?
Right. And to be fair, I've had several different mentors, and it's those mentors that have been in my face telling me what I need to hear, not what I want to hear, is where I've really progressed and really scaled up, and just realized that, okay, I've got these habits, it's not serving me. I've got to do something about it, and just being aware of them, right? And
Yeah.
so at that point, I was like, this is where the gap is in the market. This is what people really need, is about accountability and just being raw and real, right? You don't need to be fake, fake it until you make it. It doesn't exist. It doesn't work. It's about being raw and real and being authentic and genuine. That's what people want to hear. And I mean, that works wonders for me. It's worked well for me and my business with my mentors. And that's how I feel that people should, all coaches and consultants should be when they're working with their clients.
Yeah. I mean, what, you're not really doing somebody a favor if you're just kind of sugarcoating things for them, right?
Exactly. Exactly. That doesn't work. Not at all. You're not trying to spoon feed them. You know, you're not trying to tell them it's really good when it's not. If you're going to start lying to people, then people are never going to be able to progress. And that's not what you want for your clients, because you want that, you know, amazing review, that amazing testimonial that they were able to get out of their comfort zone and actually be able to achieve their goals they set out. And that you were, and I won't say, you know, it was because of me, but I'm a catalyst that helps them get there. It's them that's doing the work.
Well, and that's what coaching is, right? It's like finding those areas where you need to work and then shining a light on them and then giving you a plan to get moving forward from there, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, this is amazing and I love where we're going with this, but can we just go back a little bit and figure out, can you share the journey? Like, how did you get to be this amazing, raw, real, and relentless coach?
Oh my goodness, where do I start? It's been a journey that's just gone up and down constantly for me. And when I look back, and to be fair, when you're kind of going through these ups and downs in business, you don't realize why the hell this is happening to me right now until years later. You look back and you're like, right, there was a lesson to learn there. That's why it happened. So before I actually built my business, I was in the corporate world. And I was actually a police officer for 6.5 years. And I remember waking up one day, jumped into the shower. As soon as the hot water touched my skin just started burning. It was like it was on fire, right? And so I jumped out, ran towards the mirror, and found out my entire body came out in a rash overnight. When I went to sleep the night before, I was perfectly fine. And so I kind of got rushed to the hospital, had these tests and, you know, exams and all this done to find out what was going on with me. And I remember sitting in the consultation room, waiting for my doctor to come in to tell me what was going on. He walked in, and in fact, he had one foot in the door, and he looked straight at me and he goes to me, "You're lucky you got here when you did." And I was like, "What are you talking about? What's going on?" And he goes, "If you didn't get here when you did, your throat would have closed up." Yeah. And at that point, I was like, oh my God, what if my throat closed up while I was asleep? I've never woken up the next morning.
Wow.
So I said to him, "How the hell did this happen? What is going on with me?" And he goes to me, "Basically, it's a rash. And this type of rash is only brought on by your body being overly stressed."
And that kind of stress and that kind of reaction would have put you into anaphylaxis too?
Yes. I mean, they always say that stress is a silent killer. And I didn't realize how much of a toll doing this job was taking on my body, right? Mentally, emotionally, and physically.
Yeah.
And so at that point, I was like, okay, I've got to quit my job because this clearly isn't working for me. Now it's my life that's on the line. And what was so ironic about it is that I thought if my life was going to be, you know, kind of in danger, then it would be when I'm in the line of duty, not right. Which was so crazy. And so I was like, right, I got to quit my job. I did not have a plan B. I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know what was going to happen to me. All I knew is that I can't do this job anymore. And I was like, okay, well, I've got enough money for about 6 months to figure this out. And so I quit. But what was so funny and what I didn't expect is that the minute I quit my job, all of a sudden, these doors of opportunity started opening up for me. And then I was like, holy crap, why didn't anyone tell me all I had to do was quit my job, right? I would have done that years ago. Then I kind of decided, you know what? Like with most people, to be fair, I said to myself, wouldn't it be nice to be my own boss and have my own business? That sounds a fantastic idea. But what kind of business I wanted to build, what service, what product, I had no idea. And so it was at that point that I decided to go down the entrepreneurial journey to figure out what I'm going to do. And what was funny is that I had my last as a police officer on Friday, and the following Tuesday, oh my goodness. So all this happened in a matter of days. I gave myself 6 months. So it was a matter of days this happened. I remember my friend calling me up, and she was in the events industry, and she goes, "Well, we've got an event in central London. Why don't you come down?" And I was like, "Oh no, I just quit my job. I'm done. I'm going to chill out. I don't really want to speak to anybody." And she was like, "Look, if you don't like it, then just leave, but just come down and just check it out." So I was like, "All right, fine." And I went down there, and it was really funny because it was not my scene. There was bankers, accountants, all suited and booted. And I'm like, "Oh God, here we go again." And I did what most people do when they go to these events. I went straight to the bar and ordered a drink, right?
I'm going to get through this.
Right, exactly. And so as I was at the bar, this guy came up to me, started talking to me. And, you know, I was kind of like, "Oh, here we go, another chat up line." And what was so funny, he was asking me these questions about my career goals, my experience, my qualifications, what I've been doing. And I was answering these questions, and I'm like, "Wait, hold on a second. I'm answering these questions. Who are you?" And he turned around and he goes to me, "I would love to have you on my team. I'm a member of parliament and I work for Liberal Democrat."
Whoa. What yeah, about you in that moment said I should be in politics, I wonder?
Right. I know, but I was kind of like, "What? Huh? What's going on here?" And he was like, "Yeah, I'm being serious. I would love to have you as my campaign manager." And At that point, I was like, "Well, I ain't doing anything else. So let's just see where this leads me to." And so I left my job on Friday and I started this job on the following Tuesday.
Wow, I love that.
Yeah. But to keep the story short, like you said, I mean, I worked out very quickly when I saw it with my own eyes, with my own ears, that there's more criminals in politics than there are in prisons.
Ooh.
Right? And I'm like, "Listen, if I ended up in hospital as a police officer, there's no way I'm going to survive politics." And so I decided that, you know, this isn't for me. And he was kind of like, "You know what, when we win, I want you on my team full time. You're going to have great pay, this, that, the other." And I was like, "Come on, dude, really? Liberal Democrat, I'm never going to win. It's not going to happen." And he was like, "Oh my God, you've got to be positive, right? No negativity." I was like, "I'm not trying to be negative. I'm being a realist. It's not going to happen. That's not what the people want." And so anyway, Liberal Democrat didn't get in. And so that was the end of that. And then a few days later, I met somebody else, a friend through another friend. And she was talking to me. And again, it was one of those conversations. "Okay, what do you want to do? What are your experiences?" And I'm like, "Okay, this is just weird." And I was, you know, speaking to her, telling her, and like, "You know, I want to form my own business. I want to go into the events industry. But I don't have any qualifications. I don't have any experience." And she was like, "You'll be great working with my team." And I'm like, "Well, who's your team?" And then she started telling me about this company, and she was like, "Let me take your number and I'll give you a call in a few days." So I gave her my number. But, you know, it's one of those things. I'm like, that never happens. Like, yeah, I'm probably never going to hear from her again, right? And a few days later, she actually called me and she goes to me, "We have a huge event in London. I want you to come down and meet the team." So I'm like, "Really?" She was like, "Yeah, just come down, check it out." So I went down there, met some of the managers, supervisors, the team, you know, got along with them straight away. And they were all American. It was an American company. And so I found out that this company helps people build businesses online, does the sales, the marketing, everything, gets people out of the 9-to-5 to building their own business through live events. And I'm like, "Holy crap, like, this is amazing." I didn't understand how it all worked because it was like completely out of my comfort zone, completely, you know, different to me being in the corporate world than to learning business. So then I was like, okay, this, again, I'm not doing anything right now. Let me see how this works out.
I love your attitude. It's like, sure, let's try.
But you know what? I did that in most of my 20s. I went from job to job to job to job to job because I had no clue what I wanted to do. When people asked me, what do you want to be when you grow up? I said, I want to be rich. Right? Right. How I'm going to get there, I have no clue. And so I kind of jumped into this role, and I remember I got a call from one of the supervisors, and I was actually employed, or it was more like a freelancer. I wasn't an employee. They hired me to manage the events. And what was so funny, because I was like, I don't have any experience. I have no qualifications. And they're like, don't worry about it. As long as you're willing to learn, that's fine. And I'm like, oh, wow. And that's when I realized that you don't need qualifications as such. People think that they need this piece of paper to tell everyone that they can do a job. No, just because you got a piece of paper doesn't mean you can do the job competently. It's life experience. What you learn, that holds more weight than a piece of paper, right?
I agree.
You can totally learn on the job. And so I remember the supervisor goes, okay, I'm going to speak to the CEO. We're going to get you started. You know, we'll give you a call in a few days. I'm like, okay, great. I got a call 3 days later, and they go to me, what are you doing in 2 days? I'm like, I don't know. I don't have anything planned. They're like, great. We need you to pack your bags and be in a plane tomorrow because you need to be in Malaysia in 2 days.
What?
Yeah. And they were like, oh, yeah, by the way, that's going to be your first event, so get ready. And I was like, damn, okay. I was like, what about accommodation? What about flights? This, that, the other. They're like, don't worry, the company's paying for all your expenses. You just got to make sure you're on the plane. Yeah. So I was
there's like, a bit okay. of blind faith going on there.
There is. But this is it. Opportunities are always there. It's up to you whether you want to jump into it, right? A lot of people 100%. Are very skeptical. They question everything. Like, stop questioning it. You don't know what's going to happen, what's not going to happen until you're in it. And then you can figure it out. And if I didn't want to continue, I could have always said to them, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yep.
Right? So you're never, ever stuck. There's always a solution. And what people need to realize is that you're the one that has the choices. It's your choice. It's not up to anybody else. You say yes and you say no. And so I ended up in Malaysia. And then after that, for many, many years, I was going to events all over the world. I was mingling with the right people, had the right environment around me. I had experts, gurus, these millionaires on stages actually teaching people about business. And basically, I was a sponge. I was soaking it all up. And I remember, like, I went in not knowing anything. Then I became the events manager. Then I started doing sales. I became the number one salesperson in the company. Then I was managing teams, right? So I was learning all of this about business, about speaking on stage. Oh, my God. I remember the first day that they got me speaking on stage. All I had to do was introduce myself, and I forgot my name, right? I'm standing there. I'm like, oh, my God. And I had a bunch of my team whispering, going, Kay, it's Kay. Say your name is Kay. Right?
Thank goodness for your team.
Right. And so it was like, okay, now I've got to get over this fear, because part of this role means, you know, being able to speak confidently on a stage, telling people who you are, what you do, and why they should come and speak with you, how you can help them. And I'm like, all right, fantastic. So I just kind of immersed myself into this whole environment. And I was like, okay, let's just do it and just figure it out.
Oh, I love that attitude. That's my favorite.
Right? And so I was like, okay, you know, I'm doing this and I'm going to learn. And I've got the support there from my team as well. And so I then started traveling the world. It was freaking amazing. I was like, life does not get any better than this. And then it happened. You know, when you're in the peak, right? You're at the top of the mountain, and then all of a sudden it just drops. And so I remember my supervisors asking me, oh, so the CEO's bought this new resort in Costa Rica. It's going to be where the masterminds are held, where people are paying $60,000 plus to be there. So these are high quality clients. And they asked me to go down there to help the events, the resort manager, to get these events, you know, on point, strategize, get the planning done, sales, manage teams, all of that good stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I'll do that now, so I can totally do that over there. So I plan to be there about 3-4 months to see how it goes. And I'm like, you know, it's Costa Rica. I'm right in front of the beach, got a pool, palm trees, coconut. Why wouldn't I do this, right? Amazing. They paid for my flights again. They paid for my own apartment. Plus, I was having a vehicle pick me up from my apartment, take me to the resort, and then drop me back home in the evening, had my food, everything paid for, and plus getting paid for my services. I'm like, this is freaking amazing. And so I was there for 3 weeks, and then the company shut down. All of a sudden, I was evicted from my apartment. I was homeless, had no food, had no water, had no place to stay. In a foreign country where I didn't even speak the language.
Oh, wow.
And so I was like, what the hell am I going to do? I had my team members there pulling at their hair, worrying, stressed out, crying. Don't know, you know, how they're going to get out of the situation. And no word of a lie. I must have looked like a nutter sitting there laughing about the whole situation. I could not stop laughing. Number one, the reason I was laughing was because, first of all, this was out of my control. It is what it is. I just got to figure a way out from this mess, right? So there's no point in me screaming and shouting and crying, because that's not going to help me in any way. And secondly, what I thought was so ironic and what was so funny was, I'm thinking, hold on a minute. You got these, you know, the Les Browns and the Tony Robbins of the world that were homeless at one point and now millionaires. So to me, I was like, holy crap, I'm homeless. That means I'm going to be a millionaire. Because in my mind, I was like, in order to be a millionaire, you got to be homeless at one point.
Right? Just a rite of passage, right?
Right. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to make it. And so
I love that. I love the way that you were able to shift it into, all right, this is actually me winning.
Yes. And what I realized is that because I have a different perspective on life, because I am able to see the positive, and what I didn't realize when I was younger is a lot of people for many, many years, in fact, my parents still tell me this. They go to me, you're so weird. You're weird. It's because I'm able to think like what most people can't think, right? I'm able to see things where most people can't see. And so I guess that makes me weird. But what I also realized is, because everyone else was, you know, point of meltdown, they were frustrated, they were overwhelmed, they didn't have a clear vision of, right, how are we going to get out of this? What is our solution? What should we do next? Right? Because when you are all emotional, your vision is just blurred. You can't think. And because I was like, damn, I'm going to be a millionaire, I was able to think outside the box, get creative, and figure out a way to get out of this situation. I knew this was temporary, right? And so what I decided to do is, I was like, okay, so I've learned a lot. I've learned about marketing. I've learned about sales. I know how to bring leads in, customers. You know, I decided to go to this resort manager and say to her, right, you don't have any clients now because they were all coming through the business to come here and do the mastermind. I go, but you still have this resort. You still have bills, but yet you don't have clients. Let me help you bring clients in. But in return, I need food, water, and shelter. And so when I started showing her, explaining her what she needs to do, how we do it, she turned around and says to me, how the hell do you know this? And I'm like, the CEO. I learn everything through these events. And so I started helping and showing her. And she was like, well, we don't have a photographer. We can't afford this. And I'm like, you don't need none of that. I'm like, all the clients that have been coming down to these events, guess what they've been doing? They've been taking pictures and putting it on the Facebook. All you need to do is go into Facebook and take those pictures. And use it for our marketing materials, right? You can You can do so much. It doesn't, you don't need to have money to pay for photographers, videographers, because there's so much already online. And so she didn't think of that. And so then we started creating material for social media, for the resort itself, and a little magazine, and added pictures, and, you know, people having a good time. And that's how I was able to help. And help, it was funny because I can help other people bring in business for their company, and at the same time I'm helping myself. Mm-hmm. Right, so that just tells me, in order to help yourself, help others. That's the key.
And that's what they all say. That's what every, you know, mentor, business mentor out there will tell you, is that when you focus on serving and helping other people, that's when it all comes back to you.
That's right, it does. Being able to help people, but in order to do that, you have to be creative and have a different outlook on life. You need to be able to think outside the box. If you're going to be overwhelmed with worry, then you're never going to be a person that is able to be solution-based. And as a business owner, entrepreneur, you know this, you have to be solution-based, because there's going to be so many things coming at you that you're not even going to think of. It just happens. It's life, right? It's part of that whole adversity that you know, that you're going to face in life. I mean, look at the biggest thing that's happened right now, the pandemic. No one saw it coming, but yet there's so many businesses that have failed, that haven't been able to continue. Why? Because they weren't able to shift or adapt and continue. They were still fixed in their old mindset of, this is how we're going to do business, this is how we're going to stick to it. If that's the case, then you're never going to be able to move forward, because what people don't realize is the world is not going to adapt to us. We have to adapt to the world. And so you got to be ready to get creative, right? To shift, to pivot to the way the world is working. And if you're going to always be worrying about what's around the corner or not being able to do X, Y, and Z, you're never going to be able to scale your business. You're never going to be able to move with the world, with the people.
Well, that's the thing, regardless of pandemic or no pandemic. I mean, that's just a good life skill to learn. But even more so for business, because as you move through the different levels of your business, that's where that creativity and ability to, you know, react in the moment and be flexible, that's where the success comes from, I would think.
Yeah, definitely. But what I've seen through the pandemic is there's been so many people just stuck in their way. Like, no, this is how I've been doing it for 20, 30 years, and this is how I'm going to continue doing it. And that's not the way to move and build your and scale your business. And then what the other thing that I've really, really found is that, especially recently during the pandemic, and I guess this has been going on for a long while, but people are getting confused between the difference of opinion and advice.
Okay, explain that one.
So I'm going to give you just a little example. So my car broke down. I didn't know what it is. I'm not a mechanic. No clue. And I told my mom, I was like, oh God, the car's broken down. And she's like, oh, have you checked the battery? Have you checked the oil? Have you checked the water? Have you checked the exhaust? Have you done this? Have you done? And I'm like, well, no, because I don't know what's wrong with it. Right. But what we need to realize is friends and family, they're always going to have an opinion. They're always going to think that they're no better than you, but that's their opinion. However, if I go to a mechanic and said, look, my car broke down, what's going on with it? And they're like, okay, you need to change your battery because your battery is really old and this is happening. This is how, that's advice. Advice is always taken from the experts that know where the lane is, that they specialize in a certain place. But when you have your friends and family telling you to do X, Y, and Z when they've never done it themselves before, that's opinion. So you've got to be very, very careful of what you listen to, because there's going to be so much information coming at you, especially if you're one of those that are just starting your own business. So is it opinion that you're going to listen to, or is it advice?
Yeah. And you know, the thing is too, is when somebody like friends and family give you their opinion, they're doing it from their own perspective and what their own limits are and what they think is good for you based on their fears and, you know, issues, not from your perspective.
No. And then these people want to give you their opinions about how to build a business, but guess what? They've never once built a business. Right? So you can think about that too. And And do you know what? That brings me to the point of when I studied business in college. I studied this many, many years ago in college, not for long, for about a year. And now when I think back, I was like, oh my God, I was like learning business from teachers, but they're not business owners. They're not entrepreneurs. Not a single one of them built their own business, right? They're professional teachers and that's it. They just teach you how to read from a textbook and take exams.
Yeah, it takes me to that Brené Brown in her Netflix special, which is another quote, I guess, from Teddy Roosevelt, but about if you're not in the arena, like I'm not even listening to you, right?
Yeah, right.
Get in here with me or get out.
Right, exactly. But I think people get really confused with that. And I know that because, you know, you have these people, family, friends that you hold really close to your heart and they do mean well, but you got to learn to filter out opinion and advice.
Yeah. And I think when we're, see, we can also seek out the information that we want. And yeah. Sometimes you can go to those wrong people because maybe you want them to talk you out of things. So we have to be really careful what our motivation is too when we go asking for advice and opinions.
Right. So a lot of people say that they're scared of failing, but when you actually get down to the nitty-gritty of it, a lot of people are scared of actually succeeding. And they put obstacles in their way on purpose, which is really weird because when I explain this to people and say, you know, you clearly are afraid of being successful. And they're like, no, I'm doing this because I want to be successful. And then you break it down, you see that they're actually getting in their own way. They're putting the obstacles in their own way to stop them being successful. And that whole realization is insane when, you know, people actually realize that this is what I'm doing, holy crap, because they didn't realize that that even existed. How can you be afraid of failing, but I'm sorry, of succeeding? But that happens. That happens with a lot more people than people think.
Yeah, I mean, I've caught myself in it a lot of times. And having that awareness of what you're doing and recognizing it, oh, it's like, it's so important to be able to see that that's what you're doing.
Yes, exactly. And so again, being aware of your habits.
Yeah.
There's going to be habits that serve you and habits that don't. And where habits have served you maybe 10 years ago, it may not serve you at your point now. And so once you are aware of that and what's working for you and what isn't, and trying to change those habits to serve you, to scale up, that's the first step of being able to change your mindset, change the way you do things, change the way you see things. But being unaware of what those habits are is what's going to trip people over. And it does most of the time.
Yeah. Well, that's why I love your approach, right? Because a lot of times we need that. We really need that like rough kind of like shake it up approach to be able to break you out of those patterns and actually wake you up to see
that's
them.
Right.
And yeah, right. Because so many of us are like, you know, no, that's not what's happening. And they get very resistant to hearing that, but yet that's the only way they're going to break through.
Right. And do you know what? I remember when I had my mentor and oh my God, he is so in your face. It's unbelievable. Like people think that I'm very raw and real. Like he's on a different level. he's told me several times to get my head out of my ass, you know? So where I was before was like, oh my God, you can't speak to me like that. That's just rude. And now I've got to the point where he tells me that and I'm like, okay, so tell me what I'm not seeing, right? Yes. So clearly you're seeing something, but I'm not seeing it. So I need you to explain this to me. Why is my head up my ass?
Yep,
right?
Yep.
And so again, that was an eye opener. I was like, people need to hear it. They may not like it, but they need to hear this stuff.
Yeah. It's funny. I just recently hired a social media strategist. And our very first session, she'd done all her homework. She'd gone to my website. She'd gone to my Instagram, all my social media. And when she met with me, she tore it apart. But I mean, and it hurt at first. It's like, I've worked hard on that. What are you doing? But you know what? by the end of it, I was actually really excited. Ooh, all these things that I can do. And the way that she put it all together, it was like, oh my goodness, this is so awesome. So when you kind of get past that initial like hurt feelings,
right,
and then start to really accept that this is valuable advice and I need to listen to it, all of a sudden, like the whole world just opens up and you're like, I'm so excited to go do all this stuff now.
Exactly. And the only reason it hurts people's feelings is because they let the ego get in the way.
Yep.
It's all about ego. And so what I learned is when people say something to you and it kind of either gets you annoyed or upset or, you know, some sort of a negative feeling, it's not because of what they said, it's because of what they've said means something to you. And so, for example, if someone came up and was like, oh my God, Kay is a complete a-hole, right? If someone said that to me and I was like, oh my God, what do you mean I'm an a-hole? You're X, Y, and Z. And I reacted that way. It's not because of what they said. It's because of them hurting my ego, my feelings, and where that comes from. And so it's all about how you react to different things. So, or I could turn around and be like, oh yeah, well, yeah, I mean, that's true. I can be an a-hole sometimes, but hey, you know.
That's what people pay me for, baby.
Right, exactly, you know. And so it's about if I can just let it go over my head and be like, well, you know what, that is completely your opinion, right? Everyone else, I've got, you know, a load of people that rave about me. I've got a load of raving fans that enjoy what I do and getting them the results this way. You know, it's someone's opinion. Again, it all comes down to ego. It says more about you, the person that's being shouted at, than the person that's actually shouting at you. And so yeah. Now I've got to a point where you can call me all the names you want to. It's not going to stop me from doing what I'm doing. It's because they're mad at something that's happened, not because of me, something that's going on in their world that's made them react in that way.
Yeah. And I mean, for me, I love those moments because it just, I call them like gut checks. So if somebody was to say something to me and I react and, or I get a resistance or I have like a feeling, that's to me, that's what I need to explore. So I actually love those moments because it gives me a chance to think, ooh, why am I reacting to this? What am I holding on to? What does this mean? Like there's all these questions that you can start to ask yourself in that moment and you can decide, no, okay, I'm okay with this. What they said just brought something up in me, but I'm actually okay with it, or I need to do some work there.
Right, exactly. And what people will find is a lot of stuff that they're carrying with them, you know, through adulthood is something that's happened to them in their childhood.
Oh, always, yeah.
Right. So there's, I didn't even realize this until maybe a couple of years ago. Even from the age of 6, 7 years old, I had trigger words.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, I had trigger words. And that is carried on all the way up from my adulthood. And I didn't realize until about 2 years ago. So I remember being 7 years old, being in the playground and just playing around. And, you know, you got the boys that are playing soccer. And so this ball came rolling over to me. So I went and kicked it so I can kick it back to the boys. And as I kicked it, this big thug of a boy came over to me, you know, huge. And he was like, don't kick my ball. And I kind of was like, had my head down and, you know, okay, like fine, just like walking away slowly. And then turns around and said to me, don't kick my ball. You're a girl. Girls don't know how to kick balls, right? Oh my God. The minute he told me I couldn't do something because I was a girl, I ran back towards him and I kicked him in between his legs and showed him exactly how a girl kicks balls, right? And I mean, I got caught, I got in trouble for it, and then I realized throughout my teenage life, my adulthood, anyone told me that I couldn't do something, I was a girl, I went and proved them wrong. And where my parents were telling me that because I'm a girl, I need to learn to cook, to clean, you know, and should be getting married, having kids. And then I refused to do all of that. I was like, I refuse to do chores because you told me that a girl should be doing this, right? I refuse to learn to cook because you told me that's what a woman does when she's old and she serves her family. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that, right? And I was like, nope, I'm not getting married. Nope, I'm not having kids. Because you told me that this is what a woman should be doing and these are the things that a woman shouldn't be doing. So now I'm going to prove you wrong and do exactly what you told me I should be doing. Mm-hmm. Right?
It's almost a bit of a favor.
it kind of was, right?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I still can't cook to save my life. Well, for the amount of saucepans I've actually messed up, my mom's gone mental on me. But so I have kind of made it my mission, my goal to go against the grain and do exactly what people don't expect me to do. And so that's why in my 20s, I decided that I wanted to be an MMA fighter.
Ooh.
Right? And what people don't realize on a digital scale is that I'm only 4'11", right? So I'm small. I come from a minority background, culture, society, telling me, you know, how I should live, what kind of woman I should be, what the rules are. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing any of that. So then I became the black sheep of the family, the disobedient one that never does what she's told.
You know, and I bet you that's your superpower. I love it.
Yes, it is. I was like, okay, tell me not to do something now. Like, I dare you. I dare you. And then that's the whole thing that, you know, I wanted to become an MMA fighter. Again, I couldn't because of my health. I messed up my spine. And I was told by the doctors, if I carry on, then I'm going to end up paralyzed. And so I decided to quit that. Then I decided, oh God, before I joined the police force, I actually wanted to join the army. And I was like, I'm going to go join the army, right? Because like shooting guns and shooting people sounds kind of fun to me. So that
I'm afraid of you.
So I was like, let's do that. But it was a compromise with my parents. And they were like, no, maybe the police force would be better because at least you'll still be at home. You know, we'll still see you. Otherwise, we won't know what's going on with you, etc. But even me joining the police force, my dad was like, you're never going to get in. You're never going to get it. It's never going to happen. Right. And I was like, oh, okay. And then when I got in, they were shocked. They're like, how the hell did you do this? Like, isn't there a height restriction? I'm like, no, there used to be, but there isn't anymore because now it's called discrimination. Right. But even that whole process was funny. I had to have my uniform made to measure because there wasn't a Met vest that was small enough.
I love it. All the way along, it's like you're just breaking the rules.
Yes, exactly. And so, yeah, I guess when people hear all this stuff, I mean, there could have been people where, you know, maybe I should have just given up. A lot of people would have given up because you constantly have friends and family telling you that you're living wrong. This is how you should be living. A woman, a single woman, shouldn't be going out there on the streets chasing bad guys. You know, you should be at home cooking and cleaning. But I was like, I don't want that life. I refuse to have that life. That there's more to life than that.
Awesome.
And even now, it's really funny because when my parents, like, you know, say to me, oh, maybe you should be doing this, you should be doing X, Y, and Z, or, you know, me joining the police force or whatever it is, I turn around and say, so, well, Mom and Dad, you did a really great job because you taught me to have a mind of my own. Right? And I was like, that's what you taught me, to be independent and to have a mind of my own, not to be a follower, to be a leader. And that's exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah, I love it. They didn't realize what they were creating.
No, they didn't.
Okay, so I mean, I'm sure by now people are saying, how can I connect with this woman? So where would somebody find you and how would they be able to work with you?
Okay, so awesome. So first of all, I would like to ask if I'm able to give your audience a free gift. Would that be okay?
Absolutely.
Yeah, awesome. So what I've found is that a lot of people are having issues with organizing their time management, telling themselves that they don't have the time to scale the business or to build a business. So I've created a mini program and you can find this on my website at www.uncensoredsociety.com. Just go onto the main page and scroll down. It'll be there and it shows people, it explains people. It's got worksheets. There's even a video of me explaining how to use this. But to actually put pen to paper what long-term goal is and what your short-term goals are. And then looking at where you're spending your time daily. And what I've found recently is that when you break it all down, a lot of people are watching Netflix for 6 hours a day, right? And that's not going to help you or your business. And so when you actually have a look and break it down and see where you're actually spending your time, you realize you have a lot more time to put into your business. And that will be the first step in kind of realizing, okay, what is my short-term goal? What's my long-term goal? How are you going to break down your time? And what kind of steps and tasks on a daily basis do you need to take to reach your long-term goal? And so I would love to give your audience this gift to get people started, to actually have a look at where they're spending their time. And, you know, it's going to be the best way for their progression.
Oh, that's amazing. Thank you so much.
No worries. So if people want to get hold of me again, just go onto my website, www.uncensoredsociety.com. You'll be able to contact me on the website itself or on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter. There are links on the website to take you to my contact page as well. So just find me through my website. That would be great.
Awesome. And I'll put all of that in the show notes so that people can just click and go from there.
Awesome.
Okay. So now, before I let you go, I have to ask all my guests, if you could give somebody who's ready to take their business to the next level one piece of advice, what would you suggest?
Oh, one piece of advice. I would say start looking at your current habits. And in fact, I have a book recommendation, Miracle Morning, will be a great place to start. What people don't realize, especially when they're first starting out, is that you need to be able to look after yourself in order to serve others. And sometimes people tend to neglect themselves and just, you know, work without any time to themselves. Read Miracle Morning, and it explains to you how you should be starting your day. It doesn't necessarily mean pick up that phone to see, you know, all the messages that you received and just start working, looking at emails. Spend some time for yourself, put time into to yourself, do journaling, read a couple of pages a day from a book, learn something new. You know, make sure that you're able to create those habits where you are serving yourself in order to serve others a lot more. Because if you're not clear, if you're not focused where you want to go and you're not looking after your body, your mind, then you're going to get to a point where you're stuck. You're going to get to a point where you find out that, you know, you're not doing as well as you hoped you were doing or thought you were doing. And without you, your business won't survive. It's not going to work. You are the pillar of your business. And so make sure you look after yourself. And in order to do that, read the book Miracle Morning. It will give you the steps and explanations of what you need to do to set your day off right so that the rest of your day works out the way you want to do, or, you know, work well, and is a positive outcome at the end of the day.
I love it. I've actually been reading a book recently by Abraham Hicks called Ask and It Is Given, and it's full of amazing information. But what I really love is that it has some really great exercises that you can do, activities to actually start to manifest. And one of them is called it's called the virtual reality game. And so this is what I do every morning when I'm starting my day, is I actually create the day that I want to have in my mind before I start it. Oh my goodness. Since I started doing that, it's been about 2 weeks now, because that's when I was reading the book. It has made the hugest difference in how my day goes. It's incredible. So I totally agree. Yeah. Setting yourself up in the morning is the best thing you can do for yourself.
Definitely. But people really take, you know, they don't realize the difference it can make. Just a few minutes in the morning, just focusing on what you want to do, getting clear what action steps you're going to take today, how you want your day to work out. And just small movements. You've got to get the body moving and get, again, the, you know, blood pumped around your body. Just small little things, you know, to start your day off really makes a difference in the rest of your day.
Absolutely. So one of the things we didn't talk about is your book. And I would love, I know we don't have a whole lot of time left, but if you could just really quickly share a little bit about your book so that people can go and check that out as well.
Yes. So my book is actually called Never Judge a Book by Its Cover, which I think really says it all. It's all about the adversities that I've gone through, relationships with family, friends, career, health, all sorts, and how I navigated my way out of there. And so I wrote this book to, first of all, to tell people that you do have a voice, that you don't have to shy away, you don't have to be embarrassed. I was in a relationship where it was physically, mentally, emotionally abusive. I lost myself completely in this relationship, didn't know who I was. I was shut down in every way possible. I was told how I should dress, how I should, you know, wear my makeup, how I should wear my hair, how I should walk, how I should talk, everything. And so I lost myself in this. But I really wanted this book to be a preventative measure for people, because there's loads of people that have gone through similar situations that I have, not just in relationship, but dealing with family, dealing with negativity, people telling you what to do and how you should live. And I want to show people that you have a voice. And firstly, that if you are going through any similar situations, you know, to steer yourself in a different path, to move away, because if you're going to carry on the way you are, then you're going to end up where I was. And I got to a point where it was a very dark place in my life and I was suicidal. And so if you want to change the direction you're going in, this book will show you where I went, how I've been, how I was able to steer away. And if you don't, where you're going to end up. And that's not a place that anybody would want to be. I would put that on my worst enemy. And so it doesn't matter what gets thrown at you. It is life, it's part of adversity, but all these things, all these negative situations build your character, build your personality, and guess what? It builds thick skin, and you need thick skin when it comes to business.
Beautiful. I'm going to look up your book. Do you have it on audiobook by any chance?
You know what? I don't have an audio. It's either a normal book or it's on Kindle, but it's not an audio at the moment. I should think about doing that. Actually, a couple of people have asked me.
Yeah, that's just my go-to. I love to be able to, I'm a multitasker and I'm an audio person. So I love to be able to always have some kind of, you know, information and knowledge in my ears all the time, which is again, why I love podcasts. So
right.
I'm definitely going to check out that book. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Worries.
And I want to just quickly share, you had said something that the Queen of England has. What is it about the Queen in your book?
So I got a letter from the Queen of England congratulating me on my book and stating that she has a copy of my book and actually placed it in the private royal library, which was amazing. It was a shock. First of all, when I got this letter, I thought it was a prank, right? I was like, no freaking way. And then as I kind of investigated the piece of paper, the envelope, and realized, okay, this isn't just normal piece of paper. It's really thick and it's embossed with the with the royal symbol. I was like, okay, maybe this is real, you know? And so that was a shocker, but yeah, I mean, it's freaking amazing. Again, so many people say that they're a number one bestseller, but how many people can say that they've got the book in the private royal library?
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
that's amazing. Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you. Yes, it is amazing. And I'm still kind of shocked. I'm like, I don't even freaking know how that happened, but it has. And you know, when you're open to different opportunities, things just, it just happens.
Well, just through our conversation, I'm going to say you are a powerful manifester. So I am not surprised at all.
Thank you.
Well, Kay, thank you so much for being on. This was awesome. I really enjoyed our conversation. And anytime you'd like to come back, just hit me up, because I think you and I could have another amazing conversation.
Oh, most definitely. Thank you for having me on the show. I've had an amazing time. And I hope so many people get a lot out of this podcast.
Oh, I'm sure they will. Thank you.